Amen. Thank you for that special. That was a first time for that for me. Never heard that song before. Beautiful song. Thank you for that. Thank you for the choir song as well. We Preach Christ. What a fantastic, awesome song as we think about our responsibility as Christians. Amen. All right. Well, good evening, church. It's good to be here with you this Sunday evening. Thank you to Pastor for giving me the opportunity here to speak and bring God's word to you tonight. Tonight is, whole weekend here is Missions Emphasis Sunday weekend. So we'll deal a little bit about missions here tonight. And our responsibility to take the gospel to those around us. We'll be in Luke chapter 16. And we were in Gympie this morning at Crossroads Baptist. Had a good service up there. And did some planning for the next couple of weeks. So on Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we'll be having a bit of an outreach. And Brock here will be leading that up. And had a chat with him before his service tonight. And just getting some things. We'll meet this week sometime. Get some details planned out for our outreach on the Saturday. We're going to have an indoor marketplace. And just giving away a bunch of stuff and just really getting the gospel in people's hands, letting people know who we are, what we're there, what we're all about there at Crossroads. And then fast forwarding to May Easter Mother's Day weekend. Sorry, I got it mixed up. Easter, we're going out to Idesville. Sorry about that. That was been a long day. It's been a long week. All right, so let me back up here. Easter in 2 weeks, we'll be going to Idesville. All right, so we're joining. I'll get my ducks in order here. So we're going out to Idesville. We're going to join with Church in Gympie. We're going to take some folks out there for Easter, Resurrection Sunday, have a service together. And then fast forwarding to Mother's Day weekend is the outreach. All right, so that's what we'll be focusing on there at Crossroads, getting the gospel out to the people there at Crossroads in Gympie. So we had a good service this morning. I got to tell you a little bit of a story. A couple weeks ago it happened. We were setting up for service, I think 2 weeks ago now. And we were there, and it was about 9 o'clock in the morning. We started at 9:30. We had a middle-aged couple walk through the doors at our venue for church, and they come walking in. and one of my fellows named Troy, he's the my key man up there. And so he introduced himself and then directed them to me, myself, and I shook their hand and introduced myself and vice versa. I said a couple words, and they're like, what time does church start here? I said, well, 9:30, about 30 minutes early. Which is pretty unusual for a guest visitor. Anyway, so we were sitting there chatting, and quickly find out that they asked us if we're all Baptist, and trying to figure out real quick who we are. And so I gave them a bit of a rundown of our order of service. I let them know, what we do. We sing hymns, and we take prayer requests, and we announcements and all that. Just give a bit of a rundown of the order of service. And make a long story short, the fellow looked at me and he says, "Oh, this probably is not for us." And I said, "Oh, fair enough." And I've had that said to me before. Given how we are a biblical church and God's word is the final authority in all faith and practice that we do here at church. And so he looked at me and said that, and I said, "Oh, fair enough." And so, and come to find out, they were a little bit of a Pentecostal background, and we're looking. She mentioned that she wanted to be involved in a church and use her gifts in one way or the other to be involved in the church. And I knew where she's coming from. And so, it turned a little bit awkward. And I hate that. It's a little bit uncomfortable. But and what made it even worse is that they turned around and walked out. They didn't even stay for the service. I never had that before. I've had people stay for one service and never come back again, fair enough, but this couple is kind of, this is not for us, and they just turned around and walked out unashamedly. Okay, fair enough. Okay. That's the first one for the books. So the Lord's been good, and we looking forward to the outreach we're having there in the month of May. And be in prayer for that, if you would. Luke chapter 16, let's go ahead and pray tonight, and we're going to read the first 14 verses here in Luke chapter 16, and I have a bit of a plan here. I don't know if it's going to pan out or not, but the plan is to try to make this about a 25-30 minute sermon tonight, but I have this divided into two segments, and so we have Luke 16 verses 1 through 8 is a parable, a story that Jesus told his disciples and for us here tonight. Then we have the application starting in verse 9 down to verse 13. And so I'd like to spend a few moments going through this parable and then helping us to explain the purpose of the parable, the story that Jesus really made up. This is a made-up story, all right? And there's roughly about a little under 40 parables in Scripture, and every one Jesus told. And of the roughly about 40 parables that we have in God's Word in the New Testament, about one third of these is dealing with money. And so tonight we're going to talk about money. Not only that, we're going to talk about your talents, your treasures, and your time. And this is going to be an investment. This is an investment. This is, in fact, I entitled this the prodigal steward. We have the prodigal son. We understand that there in verse in chapter number 15. All right, and we are very familiar with that story, the prodigal son. But here is the prodigal steward. And we learn from Scripture that the word prodigal, and that's actually not even a word in Scripture, it's something that we made up over time, means wasteful. All right, the wasteful son. We understand the son there in chapter number 15, all right, he wasted his substance, and he did not plan for his future. Here we have the prodigal steward who wasted, it wasn't his substance, it was his owner's substance, and but he did plan for his future. And so we're going to see here a little bit of a contrast and a little bit of a, I think, lesson for us. And let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get stuck into this tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for this gathering of folks here tonight. And Lord, as we set this weekend aside to focus on really outreach and evangelistic missions and being a good steward of what you have given us, Father, I pray you would help us to understand your instruction. I pray, Father, that you help us to apply these principles to our life. And Lord, we thank you for this time tonight. I pray a hand of blessing be upon it. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Luke chapter 16, again, this is a parable. This is a, there's nothing, by the way, there's nothing mystical. There's nothing, you know, hidden about this parable. This is a made-up story. All right, this is a story that Christ made up, speaking to his disciples and to us tonight. So this is, understand, a parable has, it's kind of a two-sided coin. A parable reveals truth to those who want to hear it, but also conceals truth to those who don't want to hear it. And so very, very important. And this is a parable, it's a teaching to those who are part of God's kingdom. All right, so if you're here tonight, if you're not saved, if you're not part of God's family, you're not going to understand this. All right, and I'd like to implore you tonight to be sure that you are a part of God's family, that you are a part of his kingdom, and you are a born-again Christian. So tonight, is this lesson here is a parable, and let's go ahead and start reading, and we're not going to read everything straight through. We're going to go verse by verse and help, hopefully help you understand the story and then the application for it as we think about ourselves being good stewards. Here in verse number 1, it says this, chapter 16, verse number 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. All right, so very simply, opening story here is a rich man that was really lived apart from his steward. And we understand that this rich man had, we know rich men have lots of properties, a lot of enterprises, and he had to hire a manager to take care of his properties and all his belongings. And so it was a certain rich man which had a steward, somebody that was hired to manage his affairs. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. All right, we'll read, if you jump over to chapter number 15 and verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. All right, it means just to waste, to frivolously spend and not take care of, not be a good manager of his master's substance. And so this man here, he was accused. An interesting word there, he was accused. That word in the Greek, diabolical, is really the word from. And so this was a very legitimate, a very strong accusation that was getting around town, that he was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. He was not a good steward of this rich man. And so verse number 2, he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. And so he calls, the rich man calls this steward to him and says, here, What is I hear of thee? Are these accusations true? And in a story, we read that there's no defense. He immediately starts planning what he's going to do. All right, so I'm not a business guy per se, but I see a bit of an unwise move on the rich man's part, because this guy was fired. But he gave him, as we would say, a 2 weeks notice. He said, go back. I want you to figure out all the books, give it an account, and bring them back to me. I want you to figure out what's going on here, what's happening. And if I was an employer and somebody was accused of misguiding, misstewarding my belongings, I would say, look, these are pretty heavy accusations. And probably the best thing to do is to fire him on the spot. As Donald Trump would say, you're fired. All right? You're fired. You're gone. Because what's happening, he's giving him an opportunity to go back and do some more harm, which he did, by the way. All right? So basically, he said, go out. You have 2 weeks' notice. Go clean your desk out. That's what he's saying to him. All right? For thou mayest no longer be steward. You're basically fired. You got 2 weeks to go back and report and bring a report back to me. Does that make sense? And here it is, verse number 3. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? He said, I'm canned. I'm done. I'm fired. I have no future. All right. My status is going to be diminished. I'm not going to be worth anything. I have no way to support myself. I have no future. I have no home. I'm done. No job, no income, no money, nothing. So what am I going to do? So he has a bit of a soliloquy here. He's talking to himself. All right, he says, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. So here's a white-collar fella not interested in blue-collar work. He said, in fact, he's too ashamed to even dig. He's not into that. He's into internal affairs. He's into managing a bunch of property, money, substance, and wealth. He's not into this. He said, I'm ashamed to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. Something has to be done. I have to maintain my status. I got to maintain who I am. I am resolved what to do. Verse number 4. He has a eureka moment. He's got a light bulb moment. All right. This is what I'm going to do. So he's talking to himself. He's figuring this out. He's trying to invest in his future. He's trying to take care of his future. He said, I'm resolved what to do. That when I am put on my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. He said, back in these days, it was a matter of you work for a rich man, you live on one of his properties and his enterprise and his property there. And so he was there right in the mix of it. We don't know how long he was part of this, but he didn't want to lose that status. He said, I need to secure my future. I want a place to live. I still want this same position. So this is what I'm going to do. All right, this guy's conniving. All right, he's looking out for himself. It says here, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put on my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. And so he's got a plan. He's got a plan to secure his future. Does that make sense? So here's his plan. This is what he's got up his sleeve. All right. And by the way, this whole story, there's not many good people in the story. They're all twisted one way or the other, all right? They all have hidden agendas, motives, all right? And this is really a parable Jesus told that has a surprise ending, and it's like, where is Jesus going with this? And so this is very instructive for us tonight. It says, verse number 5, so, this is his plan, so he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, all right? So we have two examples to follow, all right? And this is, again, a made-up story, so we have two examples of debtors, people who owed money to his master. Remember, he's not fired. He knows he's fired, but it's not quite yet. He has more opportunity to take advantage of his master. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, and here's where it gets interesting. All right, he's hatched a plan, right, to take care of himself. All right, it says here, how much owest thou unto my Lord? So first debtor. All right, how much do you owe my master? He says there, verse number 6, and he said, 100 measures of oil. I did a little research there. So one measure is about 21 liters of oil. So you do the math, that's about, 2,100 liters of oil. That's quite a bit. You know, it's a medium of exchange. All right, so he went to one of the master's debtors and said, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, "Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. I love this. I love the word quickly, because you know what? Con men are always quick. They are quick. Sign it. Do it quick. Right? So he said, quickly, sit down. All right, he's a con artist. Quickly writes 50. All right, so he cut this man's debt in half that he owed to his master. He cut it in half. No questions asked. All right, the debtor didn't want to ask any questions. This is a great day. This is a wonderful day. All right, this is a great, that's many, many years of indebtedness he has to this fellow, his master, this rich man. Done deal. I'll sign it. All right, so he cut his bill in half. Just think about that. You know, think about your power bill being cut in half. It'll be good. Yeah. So this guy here is happy. All right. So he went to the one debtor, 100 measures of oil, and he said to him, "Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, "And how much owest thou?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat." All right. So one measure is about a bushel of wheat, about a bushel. All right, and that's about, about 27 kilos of wheat. All right, so one measure is 27 kilos of wheat, so do the math, all right? That's a lot of wheat. That's a lot of wheat. Probably fill a whole truck up with all this wheat that he owes this rich man. All right, so this steward went to him as well, all right, and he said unto him, "Take thy bill and write 80. All right? You owe my master 100, you owe him now 80. Easy as. Again, no questions asked, just you pay 80. So think, what's this guy doing? What's he doing? What he's doing, he's securing his future, because he's doing these guys a bargain, is he not? So when he's out of his job, what is he going to do? Go back to these guys, say, "Look, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. Looking for a place to live." He's taking care of his future. You think that's pretty shrewd? Is that pretty wise? Let's see what God says about that, what the Bible says. And it says here, verse number 8, and here it is. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. Why? Because he had done wisely. And so here's the whole point. All right. He's done, and that's the key word. He's not commending him for his conniving nature, all right? He's commending him for his wisdom, all right? The way he handled this, all right? And here's the word. Here's the word in the Greek is phronimus is the word. It means to be prudent, acting with acumen, acting with wisdom, all right? This guy, would you say he's pretty shrewd? He's a shrewd business guy. He's looking out for himself, all right? He went to his master's debtors. He cut their bill in half, 20%. And that way, when he's out of a job, he'll go back to these guys. And by the way, these two debtors in the story, now there's probably more. This is a made-up story, obviously, but we have two, all right? And I think the Lord put in two for a reason, because the first guy, if he just got a deal, and then you heard about this other debtor got a deal as well. Again, it's all about honor, all about their name. You know, they're going to not want to help this guy, because if the first guy doesn't help the steward, all right, word to get around, this guy's not helping him, and so his name would be dirt. I got to help this guy because he helped me. Does that make sense? And that was the culture back in those days. You know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. And so this guy here, the steward, is looking forward to a home, looking forward to a house, looking forward to be taken care of because he cut these guys a deal. And here, the Lord, not the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord, the master, I commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. He worked the situation to secure his future, benefit his future comfort by reducing the debts he indebted everybody to him. And he had done them immense good. I mean, immense good. They are now obligated for his great generosity. And here is what God's word says in following that verse. Verse number 8, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser, there's that word again, wiser, than the children of light. and hoping this is unfolding for you and making sense. Because we take the shrewdness of the steward and how he acted to secure his future, and how are we in our life, not only with money, but also with our time and talents, securing our eternal future. Does that make sense? And this is the whole point. Sinful people act to secure their own future benefit in very clever and ingenious ways. We know that. They use the resources they have with shrewdness, with whether honest or dishonest, to secure the best future they can secure. This is how the sons of this age operate. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what he's saying. He made the most of his opportunity. It's a very impressive plan, pretty well designed. The sons of this age, who are they? Sinners, this age. They're not in God's kingdom. They're the unsaved. These are unbelievers. That's how the passing world works, does it not? Every imaginable, clever scheme to make money, to secure your future and the future of the people that you care about is concocted, devised, and entertained, whether it's honest or dishonest. It's rarely a question of whether it's that. It's mostly a question of, can I get away with it? Every scheme to secure the future. Investments of all kinds, strategies of all kinds to secure the future. Schemes of all kinds. Every kind of ingenuity is used and applied. Every imaginable and unimaginable kind of devices to guarantee future wealth. It's going on all the time. We know that. You probably get some email scams and texts and all that, trying people to tap into your wealth and to try to get your money and scam you out of it. The world's full of it. We know that. They use all kinds of ways with AI and technology and all kinds of stuff now. This is how the world operates. We need to expect that's how they operate. And there are people at the top of legitimate banks and legitimate enterprises of the world who are corrupt and using every device that they can use to get what they want to get. There are crooks who create their own Ponzi schemes and use every device. It is how it works. And they're very good at it. They're very shrewd at it. The governments of the world have to have all kinds of agencies and all kinds of people who are going through books and all kinds of auditors, all kinds of operators, all kinds of agencies, public and private, to sneak around and find out all the schemes that are going on as people work to secure their future. That's what they do. That's the world lives for. That's their God. And so here, the Lord, the master, the rich man, commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. He's not commending his conniving activities. He's commending the wisdom in which this man used to secure his future. Does that make sense? We are the sons of light. It says there, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That's an indictment on us. How are we investing in our eternal future? That's the question. What are we doing with our monies and our talents and who we are that God's given to us to invest in eternity? And there's some rabbinical teaching here. It goes from the lesser to the greater. If the world's doing this, why can't we? Why can't we? Does that make sense? And so that's a story. Here's the application. All right, I think so far we're doing pretty good in time. All right, here's the application. What do we do? What do we hear the story. We know what the story here that Jesus told. How do we apply this to our life? And the following verses are the application. The Bible says in verse number 9, and I say unto you. All right, so this is instruction. This is application for the disciples he's talking to and for us here tonight. So I have three things. I have 3 points, but I don't have any names for the points. All right, so you make them up yourself. All right, so, all right. So three things that I see. And this is verse number 9 is the first one. And this is beautiful. This is Jesus speaking, guys. This is scripture. All right, it's not me. This is scripture. This is how we invest in our future. All right, this is how we make wise decisions on how we invest in our future. Verse number 9, number 1, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. All right, mammon, an old Aramaic word that means money. All right, wealth or money. All right, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of the wealth and money of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into their into everlasting habitations. So here is the first thing. Here's the first thing. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Understand that we all have money. And Jesus understood that, that money is part of life. It's a medium of exchange. All right? And we all deal with it. In fact, I heard someone say recently, if you lived to 80 years old, you spent about 50 years of your life out of 80 thinking about money. How to invest it, where it's going, to spend it, you know, how to save it. Go through Woolies, you know, all these things and try to get deals and all that. So it's always, we're doing a lot about money, are we not? I mean, it's part of life. And Jesus understood that. Nothing wrong with that. All right? So he gives us some principles here and how we take this. All right? Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Understand that the money we have in this world system, or the economic system, is not going to last forever. All right? We can't take it with us. All right? In that sense, it's unrighteous. All right, it's unrighteous mammon, unrighteous money. Here's the point. You invest in kingdom enterprises that bring about the salvation of sinners. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying you take the money, the unrighteous mammon that you have, all right, and you make yourself friends that when ye fail, then when we die, or when the money fails, both are going to happen. The money's going to fail, all right, and we're going to fail. Our body's going to fail, all right. And I pray over here is saved on your way to heaven. You're part of God's family. All right. It says here that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Going back to the parable there, all right, this guy was looking for a house for himself. He's looking for some security for his future. All right. He's using wisdom in that. Are we using wisdom and in securing our eternal home in heaven? Understand, you know, it's free. I'm not preaching heresy. And here's the point. Here's the point. If you're saved tonight, you're going to heaven, but not everybody's going to have the same welcoming committee. Does that make sense? All right. There are people that we have invested, missionaries we've invested in, that we have no idea that we are bearing fruit to our account because we invest in those missionaries. These guys are in P&G right now. Those who gave to that and Greg and all those guys that are over there, all right, they're investing their life. They're giving their life, their time, their health, their resources, their money to go help a missionary so they can reach more for Jesus Christ. That's a good investment. And that's investment, and they have no idea who they're going to reach. We have no idea who we reach in our missionary endeavors here at Good Shepherd. We have no idea. All right, missionaries we support all over the world, all over the place. All right, in heaven, there's going to be people that are waiting for us to get there. All right, friends of ours, we have no idea who they are. That we have a part in their arrival in heaven. Does that make sense? We gave to that missionary, and the missionary went and witnessed. And we are investing our monies into that. It's a wonderful thing. Read that verse again. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Understand, guys, we can't take our homes with us. We got a better mansion waiting for us. We can't take our cars with us. We don't need them. We'll fly around. All right? We don't need anything. We can't take anything with us. But this is wonderful because God has made it where we can take the unrighteous mammon, the unrighteous money that we make in this world and invest it in eternity. And we can send it on ahead. We can send it on ahead and secure and have a future in heaven. Understand that. We're all going to heaven if you're saved. All right? But we understand there's rewards in heaven. All right? We know that from Scripture. So what are we doing? Are we making friends? Well, are we taking the money that we have and we making... Are we making friends personally? Are we sharing the gospel? Are we involved in giving to missions? Are we, you know, looking forward to our future? Are we using wisdom in that? Are we investing in eternal enterprises? You need to be at least as shrewd as this guy was. Invest in what proclaims the gospel and brings people to salvation. Invest in the kingdom enterprises. Understand, life is very short, guys. It's very short. Eternity is eternity. This thing has flown by so fast. This year is almost half over already. And life goes by quickly. So on the final day when my life ends and I'm separated from everything I have, I'm going to find out who is standing on the edge of heaven welcoming me as a friend. What an awesome gift that is it not? So we invest, you invest in those who preach the gospel, those who teach people to preach the gospel. You invest in missionaries and those who send missionaries. You invest in every gospel enterprise that multiplies teachers and preachers and evangelists and the spread of the word and the spread of the truth around the world. And you are constantly investing in that. You're purchasing friends for eternity. You understand when I say that? We're not buying friends, but you're investing in friends. You're investing in those. You don't want to waste it. You want to waste it. It is your wealth if it is invested in the proclamation of the gospel and the preparation and training of those who proclaim the gospel. That's the first thing. Does that make sense? So make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Here's a second one. It goes through verses 10, 11, 12. The second one is this. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And this is what they call an axiomatic statement. This is it's a simple truth. And you don't need to prove it. It's just a statement of truth. All right? And so he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And what an amazing thing to be part of something like this where we're all doing it as a church. We're all investing in missions, investing in people, in projects, in enterprises that have an eternal reward. And you say, well, I don't give much because I don't have much. If I had more, I'd give more. And let me say, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. No, if you had more, you wouldn't give any more. You say, how do you know that? You don't know me. You're right, I don't, but Jesus does. He does. He knows. Because the verse says, verse number 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He said, if I win the lottery, I'll give it all. Well, what are you giving now? Because it's a heart issue. It's a character issue. We know the widow's mites. She gave everything she had. She had nothing to give, but she gave everything she had. It's a heart issue. It's not how much you have. It's about who you are. It's about what your priorities are. It's about whether heaven is where your heart is. That's what it's all about. It is obvious that faithful people are faithful people, whether they have little or much. And unfaithful people are unfaithful, whether they have little or much. It's never a question of how much you have. If you are concerned about the advancement of the kingdom, and you're committed to making friends for eternity, you will give what you have in a generous way and joyful way. It will do it. So the amount you have is not the issue. Your character is the issue. Your commitment is the issue. Your love for heaven is the issue. You are either unselfish, humble, generous, non-materialistic, committed to the kingdom with all your heart, or you're not. Very straightforward statement. And it goes on, and we have two more things here within this number two thing. So we have a couple of things here Jesus points out, and he isn't finished with us yet. He says there in verse 11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So let's say you haven't been faithful. You're one of those who has been self-indulgent, accumulating, and spending all your money on things you're going to leave here. And by the way, I'm not saying we need to sell everything and go live in a cardboard box on the side of the street corner. All right? God's given us all things richly to enjoy. So I'm not advocating getting rid of everything and just living like a pauper on the street. All right? Whatever you have, we're all different. We're all different things in life. We all have different economic backgrounds and different businesses going on. Everything's different. So, you know, we're not advocating that whatsoever. We'll get to that a bit more here in a bit. But understand that if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, all right, talking to the sons of light, talking to us, believers, disciples, who would entrust the true to you? Literally, the true to you, the true things to you. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous, all right, who, meaning God, is going to give you things that are spiritual and eternal? Here's the point. Do you think God is going to reward you in eternity if you have wasted your opportunity, your stewardship here? There's no reward for you. All right? That's what he's saying. You're not getting rewarded for that if you waste it here. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, ye have not been faithful, who will commit to your trust the true riches? There's no reward for that. There's no reward for you squandering and wasting and being a prodigal steward here with the unrighteous mammon. There's no reward for that. So what happens is as you demonstrate unfaithfulness in the use of your unrighteous wealth, you forfeit spiritual and eternal blessings, both now and forever. You may buy yourself endless stuff, creature comforts, all the shallow things, all the corrupting things, all the temporary things, the stuff that burns up, but you're not received the real riches, the things that last forever. I'm reminded here, Matthew chapter 6, to read a verse to you real quick. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's Jesus speaking as well there. All right, goes hand in hand with what we're talking about, this parable here. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And he's not done there as well. Verse number 12. And if ye had not been faithful, and you see that word faithful a lot in these verses, do you not? Faithful in verse 10, verse 11, verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's. You say, I bought all this stuff. This is all my stuff. No, it's not. God owns it. All right? So we are simply, anyway, whatever we have is God's anyways. So understand that it says here, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, God, it's God's stuff. Who shall give you that which is your own? All right. It says in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10 to 13, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. What a great portion of scripture. It all belongs to him anyways. As it says, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills. Everything is his. Everything is his. In Psalm 104, verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. The prophet Haggai said this, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. It's all mine. You say, no, wait a minute. I earned it. I worked for it. Well, that may be true. You worked hard for it, but it's not yours. All right. The sons of this age, the unsaved, the unbelievers, live in indulgence. They live in selfishness and hoarding, in conspicuous consumption. They live in waste, and they think it's all theirs. They think it's all theirs. As a believer, all this is to test our devotion, our commitment to him. It all belongs to him anyways. Everything we have is a steward. We're a steward of everything that we have. Remember the parable back in Matthew 25 where the master doles out the talents. If you're squandering wood, and all the servant can do is manage or fail to manage the privilege he's been given. So if you're squandering what is God's, I'm not talking about a tenth of it is God's, it's all his. If you're squandering what is his, then he will not entrust their true riches to you. Things that have eternal significance. Again, this is, yes, dealing about money, but dealing about what God's given you in a way of your giftings and who you are and your abilities. And God's given us all certain giftings to be used for him, to be used for him, to invest in eternal things. In verse 13, the third thing, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money or wealth. This is obvious, all right? Another axiom, very, very obvious. You can't serve, you can't be a servant, a slave to God and to wealth. You can't do it. It can't be done. You're going to hate the one or love the other. You're going to hold to the one and despise the other. You've got to make your choice. That means you're going to take your wealth and invest it in what honors God. Or you're going to serve money, and that means you're going to take it and use it for what you want here in this life. We see it all around us all the time. We all have neighbors, and we watch our neighbors, and we see, you know, it's really sad. It's really sad. You know, you have mom and dad working, you know, 40-plus hours a week, and that's all they do. There's no eternal future for them unless they get saved. And as Christians, we need to be using shrewdness and wisdom in how we handle our money and how we invest in our future. Understand, there's a principle of, again, like I mentioned this earlier, that we'll receive rewards in heaven. There's rewards in heaven for us. All right? Heaven's a free gift. We know that. We don't earn it. We receive it by faith in the payment of Jesus Christ, in his shed blood on the cross, the forgiveness of sins. Notice what notice verse 14, we'll close here. It says, and I love this because it's a little bit of an inside look of those who love money. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things and they derided him. That word means they literally stuck their noses up. We don't like what you're saying, Jesus. You know why? Because money was their God. Money was their God. That was their response. What's your response tonight? How are you feeling about this? Are you like the Pharisees? How are you feeling? I'll read something in closing to you. These two, God and money, are diametrically opposed. One commands you to walk by faith, the other to walk by sight. One to be humble, the other to be proud. One to set your affection on things above, the other to set them on the things that are on the earth. One to look at the things that are unseen and eternal, the other to look at the things that are seen and temporal. One to have your conversation in heaven, and the other to cleave to the dust. One to be careful for nothing, the other to be all anxiety. One to be content with such things as you have, the other enlarge your desires. One to be ready to distribute, the other to withhold. One to look at the things of others, the other to look at only one's own things. One to seek happiness in the Creator, the other to seek happiness in the creature. You can't serve two masters. It's impossible. You can't do it. So my challenge for you tonight is this. Where are you at? Yes, in money, in wealth, but in your time. You know, look, we all have the same hours per week. We get that. We have life given to us as a stewardship from God. And I praise the Lord for life here and the responsibility we have to serve him. He's our master. He's our king. He's our God. What are we doing? Are we as shrewd and have wisdom like this unjust steward that was commended and praised? He was praised for the way he handled that. Does that make sense? He was praised for that. And what are we doing? What are we doing in regard to our eternal investments? Are we investing in eternal things in our future? Are we shrewd in that? Are we taking our monies, our time, our talents, and investing those things in our future? It's a serious thing, guys. It's serious. Very serious. We think about missions and, you know, what our life is all about and what are we investing in. Again, we're not, you know, saying go out and sell everything. We're saying what God's given you, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with that for eternal purposes, for eternal value? Are you using wisdom in that? I see a lot of young talent here, a lot of people are gifted in a lot of different areas. What are we doing with that? Are we wasting it? Are we squandering it? Are we being an unjust, are we being a prodigal steward? Are we wasting that opportunity? What are we doing? That we're investing in our eternal future. Nothing wrong with investing in the present future. the earthly future, but who are you serving? Who are you serving? Are you using the money that God's given to us to invest in eternal purposes, in kingdom enterprises? What are we doing tonight? And I hope it's a bit of a challenge for you to think about missions. And I praise the Lord, I'm part of a church here that we have missions-minded people all around here. And thinking of, Brother Dan down in Melbourne there and his family. In a couple of weeks' time, they'll be opening their first official service and be in prayer for him. Again, that's a good investment because he's preaching the gospel. He's out there reaching people for the Lord. You know, and that's eternal. That's using shrewdness. That's using wisdom. What are we doing individually and collectively for the cause of Christ? We preach Christ. We heard tonight. We preach Christ. Not only in our words, but in our actions and our investments. How are we handling that? What are we doing tonight? I pray it's a bit of a challenge for you. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for this parable you've given to us, the disciples, and us here tonight. And Lord, so very, very important as we think about, and it's very, very convicting. It really is, Lord, as we think about our own life and our own, what you've given us, Lord. You've given us time and our talents and our treasures and wealth and this world that's going to be, that we can't take it with us. And we understand we are here to enjoy all things richly given to us. Nothing wrong with that. But Father, I pray you help us to have our heart in the right spot. Help us to serve the right choice. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for these people here tonight. We thank you for the missionaries that we support and across the world and investments, Lord. And it's a wonderful everlasting investments. We will see people in heaven that we have no idea that we had a part of that because of our giving and our going, and Father, and all these things that we do, Lord, to invest. And Lord, it's going to be a happy reunion day in heaven. And Lord, we thank you for these folks, and I pray you help us, Lord, as we ponder and consider what are we doing with what you've given to us. Are we being a good steward of what you've given to us? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this night tonight. Pray these things in Jesus' name.